We're going to look at John chapter 5 today, and before we get into it, we're going to take a moment and pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that your word's a light to our path. It's a lamp to our feet. I thank you for giving us insight and understanding and enabling us, Lord, to see clearly and hear plainly what you're saying and doing. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read a few verses in John chapter 5 and just look at something that Jesus did and something that he didn't do. John chapter 5 verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" That's something that probably could be examined and a whole lot of time spent on, and I'm just going to say this, a couple of things about it. It was very important, I think, that he asked that question, and it's important that we consider it because, believe it or not, some folks don't want to be well. Some folks don't want to be healed because if they were healed, they would have to take up some responsibility. If they were healed, they would have to give up some attention. If they were healed, they might lose something. Might lose the attention, perhaps the disability or whatever that happens in this day and time. So it's a good question. Do you want to be made well? Some folks really do enjoy ill health. Verse 7, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Now, what we want to look at here, and what I want us to think about for a little while, is the fact that he walked into a hospital where there was a place where there was a whole lot of sick people. He walked in and healed one man and turned around and walked out, essentially. Didn't heal anybody else. Question is, why did he walk into a hospital and heal only one person? Another question is, did he run out of anointing or did he miss God? Did he not fulfill the Father's purpose? I don't think he ran out of anointing and I don't think he missed God. The why is what we're going to look at. If we look at verse 19 in this same chapter, John chapter 5, verse 19, this is Jesus talking to the Jews. It says in verse 19, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most surely I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner." He says, "I don't do anything of myself, but I do what I see the Father do." That's what he said there. Verse 30, in the same chapter, Jesus said, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now, there's a few more verses in a couple other chapters that we will look at, chapter 8 and verse 28. John chapter 8, verse 28. Jesus says, Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has left me alone, for I always do the things that please him." So he always did what pleased the Father. John chapter 12 and verse 49. We read Jesus speaking here. He says, "For I have not spoken," John 12:49, "I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should speak, what I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50, "And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." One other verse, John chapter 14, verse 10. Philip had asked him to show him the Father. Philip's, verse 8, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us." And Jesus said, "I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. I do not speak to you on my own authority." So, in effect, we could say this in these verses relating to what he did there at John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. He walked into the hospital and healed only one person because he, in effect, said this: "I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do." And this, I believe, is very important. Now, go with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to go to chapter 28, and we want to go to verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, this is Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came to them and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So here, the last instructions that Jesus gave to his apostles there on the Mount of Ascension was to make disciples, not make converts. He did not say make converts. He said make disciples. And when we stop and think about it, is it possible that he might have been talking to them about doing what he did in respect to this situation, about only saying what you hear Father say and doing what you see Father do? Now, you say, well, that's a nice thing to think, and very likely that is his intention, there's no question. But how did he do it? How did he do that? How do we teach that? How do we disciple people to hear what Father's saying and see what Father's doing, so they can say what he's saying and do what he's doing? It's a pretty good question. I believe that I need to say this, that first of all, making disciples is not about giving information. It's not just about giving information. A good Bible study is wonderful. Having Bible information is useful and needful. But I don't think that's all that it takes to make a disciple. You might have somebody that's educated biblically, and that's not wrong. I'm not against that. I think part of the problem in the church is that much of the church is ignorant biblically. But there are some other aspects of this that we need to think about. How many of you believe Abraham walked with God? Well, I know you do. If you know the Bible, you know that Abraham walked with God. You know that Abraham is called the friend of God. But did you ever think about the fact that Abraham didn't have a Bible? Actually, he didn't. Abraham didn't have a Bible. We don't even know for sure in his day and time who was writing anything down. I'm sure they did have the ability to put things down in some kind of a recording thing somehow or another. But Abraham didn't have a Bible. Or if he did, no mention of it was made. But I'll tell you one thing that he did have. He had relationship and fellowship with Almighty God. He fellowshipped with God. He listened to and he talked to God. And I think that's what this is all about, is learning how to hear what Father's saying and see what Father's doing. That has to do with fellowship, has to do with intimacy with the Father. And so Jesus' last instructions were to make disciples, not to make converts. He did not say to mankind, to his apostles, to make converts. He told them to make disciples. A disciple is someone that's a learner, someone that made the decision to learn. And learn from someone that has been at this a while, someone who has already had fellowship with God. See, Jesus did fellowship with the Father. He did commune with the Father. He, I believe, had an intimate relationship with his Father, else he couldn't have seen what Father was saying, heard what Father was saying, and seen what Father was doing. He, in his discipling of those men, I believe part of it was teaching them that. In fact, is one of the disciples at one point, I don't have the verse here in front of me, but he said, they said, teach us to pray. It's in the Gospel of Luke, where that is, where they said, teach us to pray. I don't remember for sure, but what occurs to me is it's in Luke, and right now, actually, I don't remember the verse. I thought I did, but he was talking to it. Yeah, here it is. It is Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass as he was praying in certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And in this is in Luke, where the Lord's Prayer, or what I call the prayer of a son of God, is recorded. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They were wanting to learn how to communicate with the Father. And so when he was discipling them into that, and he even in this 11th chapter of Luke, he even goes into this thing about prayer, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And we're not going to go into that, but he's talking about a fellowship, a friend. You know, I believe God wants us not just to be his children, but he wants us to grow up and be his friends as well. And so Jesus, in his discipling of the 12, taught them to pray. And the last commandment that he gave was to make disciples. And what he said was, teach them what I've taught you, in effect. Now, I have a great regard for a man named Oswald Chambers. I read his little book quite frequently. In fact, I actually read it every day. The little book, My Utmost for His Highest. The reading for June the 19th, it's June the 19th. Jesus said to his disciples, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Feeding the sheep is what he's talking about, making disciples here. Let's see what Mr. Chambers says. Jesus did not say, make converts to your way of thinking, but look after my sheep. See that they are nourished in the knowledge of me. Getting to know him and his ways. And part of his ways were that he did what he saw his father doing. He did what he saw his father doing, and he said what he heard his father saying. And so that's just one aspect of this thing about doing what Jesus did, doing it his way, making disciples. So we have to understand, brothers and sisters, that discipleship is a long-term process. It's not something that happens in the short haul. It's the long pull. It's a long process. We've, as the church, what we've done is mass evangelism. We got to get them all saved because they're all dying and going to hell. Jesus said, "Make disciples." He didn't say, "Make converts." And making a disciple is a long-term process. It takes more than a little while. You might make a convert, convert them to your way of thinking in a little while, depending on how passionate you are in your speaking and how much information you cover them up with. But to make a disciple, somebody's got to make a decision that they're going to follow and they're going to change their way of thinking. Now, did you know the difference between a disciple and somebody that's saved? A great deal. There's a lot of people that are born again that are not disciples. A disciple is someone that he's chosen to follow the Lord and learn his ways. And this thing that we're talking about here, Jesus' way of only saying what he heard the Father say and only doing what he saw the Father do, actually probably would cut down on a whole lot of activity that we, the church, have done and are doing. And so discipleship's a long-term process. Jesus did not just impart information, but rather he gave them life. He gave life, and the life is in the Son. He laid his life down for them that they might have his life, that we might have his life. In Jesus' prayer, in John chapter, let's go to John chapter 17, and let's read what's been called his high priestly prayer. Jesus is talking to the Father here, and for me, it's kind of like he's given a report on his fulfilling of the purpose that he came for. John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." That's why Jesus said to make disciples, because somebody being born again and becoming a child of God, that's not a difficult thing. It's really not. God didn't make that hard. But having this eternal life work in us so that we ourselves can manifest it in this earth as he did is another whole thing. He said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you." To know doesn't just mean know about. It's talking about having an intimate relationship with. "That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." He said in verse 4, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." He's given him a report, telling the Father what he had done. He says, "And now," verse 5, "O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name. I have demonstrated, this is what he's saying, I have demonstrated or manifested, made clear and plain your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. He said, I've manifested your nature and your character. That word, name, let me read it to you. And I've manifested your name. The word name there means authority and character. It not only means what you call someone. When we use the word name, we only think about what it is that you call them. But in the Greek, the word that's used there in chapter 17, verse 6, where he says, I've manifested your name unto the men, that word means your nature and authority, character and authority, has all of those meanings. So he said, I've demonstrated your name, I've shown them who you are, what you're like, what you do, and why you do it. Said, I've manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you gave me. There it is again. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I've given to them the words which you've given me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. Jesus, communication with the Father here is saying, I've demonstrated the nature and character of the Father to these men by showing them, teaching them, not only God's Word, but His will and His way. And that's what discipleship is about. And part of that has to do with being able to hear what Father's saying and say it, and see what Father's doing and do it. Now, again, that comes from relationship, not just, and fellowship. If you're born again, you have relationship with the Father. Fellowship has to do with on-purpose communication, on-purpose setting aside your purposes and plans and listening. Listening to the Father, talking to the Father. I discovered this a while back. It seems as though that in the church, most times prayer is about telling God what the problem is and telling God how to fix it, or telling God what you want and how soon you need it. And actually, I do know that the Bible says, Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. And I believe that we need to ask. I really do. But I also know we need to be able to listen. Because that's how Jesus heard what Father said. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. And I only do what I see my Father do. That's why he could walk in a hospital and heal one man and walk out. I've actually heard men say that if they had that kind of healing anointing, healing gift, that they'd just go in there and they'd empty out that hospital. Well, not unless Father said so, you won't. There's a verse in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, that's a very, very important verse, just kind of over there, and we overlook it sometimes. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37, it says, who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Right there, that's talking about saying what God says. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? I believe I can have what I say if I'm saying what God says. That's the issue. You can't just have what you say just because you said it. I don't know about you, but I'm not that powerful. He is. His words comes to pass, and whenever I say what he's saying, then I'm able to get involved in that. So the issue here is hearing what Father says and saying that, seeing what Father does and doing that. And the thing that I suppose that I'm wanting to make an impression about is that this is about discipleship, teaching people, not just giving them information, not just giving them Bible information, though I'm in favor of doing that. It's not just that. It's a matter of teaching them how to hear what Father's saying, teaching them to be able to, discipling them into the hearing the voice of the Lord, discipling them into being able to see what he's doing. And that all comes through relationship. Even the one doing the discipling has to have a relationship with the one being discipled, as well as that one that's doing the discipling has to have a very intimate relationship and fellowship communion with Father. All I'm wanting us to get a hold of is this thing about relationship and fellowship with God. It comes out of intimacy, and it comes out of the process of God working in our lives through the situations that he brings us into. Jesus says, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which you gave me out of the world." They were yours. You gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me. Gave them the words. He said what he heard his Father say. This is a imperative thing that we each get a hold of, to learn to hear what Father's saying so we can say it, and see what Father's doing so we can do it. Father, I thank you. I praise you and I honor you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that you are giving us instructions and directions. You are illuminating the eyes of our understanding. And you are, Father, bringing about your purpose in and through our lives. I speak blessing and grace and peace to these that hear. And I thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen.